Hey, this is Doc Mike. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media. I'm just a guy having some fun, shining light on the darkness and helping to spread the truth that the mainstream media chooses to ignore. If you guys are on any kind of social media platform, would you please post that we're live or post that people can go get the shows on archive from Real Liberty Media or their favorite podcasting platform. And man, another crazy week. I'm looking forward to today's show. It's nice to see you guys. I appreciate the feedback you leave in different places on the internet. You know, it's all over the place, so I have to look in a few places to see them. Luckily, pretty much every platform kind of lets you know that somebody left a message, so that's really helpful. I appreciate it. Hey, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Hal Anthony does Behind the Woodshed, a two-hour show packed full of information. And, you know, listen to him. That guy is also a truth seeker. He's been doing it for a long time. He's well organized and really gets it out there. And yeah, tonight Moose Girl is going to be on a show in about an hour, about 7 p.m. JP show. I'm not real familiar with him, but I'm going to go listen hopefully when I'm done here. And that'll be fun. You know, somebody else in Real Liberty Media being, I think, a guest or a guest host on his show. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that too. All right, so remember, Hal Anthony, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 hours, packed full of information. Don't miss it. And I'm just going to say now, I think you're going to want to see or hear the next show here on Real Liberty Media, Doc Mike Show, me, Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, which I'm going to be changing to a new show called The Discerning Observer. I hope you join me there. It's going to be a little bit different format. I'm not going to do the homesteading stuff. We're going to separate that out. And I don't know when we're going to launch that. It might be February. It might be March. I don't know. But we're getting there. We're getting there. A little bit at a time. It's a new and different setup. So it's just I'm having fun with it, you know. It's fun for me, and I think I'm doing something, or I feel like I'm doing something. I am doing something. Who knows what it is? But anyway, hey, listen, I'm telling you, I learned something today that really, in one aspect, kind of blew me away. And in another aspect, it actually started answering questions that I have posed on previous shows here with my own kind of intuition. Like, how could you possibly know to look for coronavirus in wastewater? Well, there's a very good explanation I heard today, but there is so much packed into this explanation that I have to go back and watch the show that I saw this on and to gather up the documentation, read it, and kind of interpret it myself so I do a good job at explaining it. But please catch me on, what day is that? I think it's the 25th. Yeah, on January 25th, catch the live show. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. It's incredible information. It makes absolute sense, and it's presented in a great way. I think I'll do a good job at explaining it the best I can anyway. And man, I'm telling you, it just blew me away. Crazy amount of information, stuff I hadn't heard before. Maybe some of you have heard it before, but I just look forward into diving into that a little bit deeper and putting it up here on the show. I wanted to talk just a tiny bit. Like I said, the new platform, I'm going to separate out the homestead stuff from the current event stuff. But today, we're not doing that yet. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some homestead stuff, because I saw a story today about how many people are getting into backyard birds, which basically means chickens, but it could mean, you know, ducks or turkeys or guinea hens or whatever. And I just want to put this out there. There's a good reason for doing backyard birds. Now, what has driven the increase in popularity of backyard chickens is the price of eggs, of course. You know, egg prices are, in some parts of the country, they're like $12 a dozen. I know here on the West Coast in Oregon, locally, which means within 25 miles, they are $4.50 to $9 a dozen, right? $9 for organic white eggs, $4.50 for regular, you know, chicken factory eggs. I call it chicken factory. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but, you know, mass produced eggs. That's what it is. Even organic eggs are mass produced, although you can get really crazy and get, you know, cage-free eggs and all that, and it just keeps getting more expensive. You know, the more adjectives you add to it, it just adds more coin to the cost of the eggs. But listen, here's the deal about doing backyard birds or, you know, your backyard chickens or whatever. Yeah, there's really a lot of considerations about doing it yourself. Now, if it's just the price of eggs that's going to drive you to, you know, have your own flock and have your own eggs, maybe, you know, maybe you have 2 to 4 chickens, you get 1 to 4 eggs a day, or maybe you have a dozen chickens and you get 6 to 12 eggs a day. The problem is it's going to cost you money to feed and clean and take care of those chickens. So if it's only price that's driving you to do backyard chickens, I would say it's going to cost you a lot more to have the chickens and do it yourself than it is to go and buy the eggs. But here's a caveat. By having backyard chickens, you're actually going to ensure that you have eggs, which isn't going to be the case always. There's a national shortage of eggs. People in businesses, people who have restaurants and bakeries and, you know, donut shops, and, you know, they need eggs, and those eggs are expensive. And you know, there's been a tax on the flocks in the United States. I say a tax because I think there's nefarious people behind it. Like, I looked just before I came live on the show to see if the current avian flu was made in a laboratory, and you can go back to 2011 and even sooner than that and see that there were some concerns about, you know, the lab security of the lab who was making this avian flu. So in my opinion, more than likely it was man-made, because the ruling elites are doing everything they can to eliminate or decrease the population in the world. And by, you know, by damaging the food supply, that's one way they're going to do it. And by injecting us all with poison, or poisoning us in some other ways, which you're going to hear about on Wednesday, they're trying to do it. So keep in mind that even though you have backyard birds, your own chickens, you can still, I mean, if somebody wants your birds to get this damn flu, avian flu, it's going to happen. So you have to be very careful about everything. And I mean, still, if somebody's going to infect your flock, they're going to infect your flock unless you have incredible security, which I don't think anybody is going to, you know, put that much security on their chickens, and it might be impossible anyway. Hell, for all I know, pure conjecture on my part, but for all I know, they could be having, you know, they could have trained birds that are carrying the virus just fly over your coop and, you know, poop in it or whatever, and your birds are going to get sick. And, you know, who's to put it past this government, the federal government of the United States, to be doing that. I mean, they have done so many things to harm the populations of the United States and the entire world that I wouldn't put it past them at all to actually figure out a way to get this virus into all the flocks. But my point is, you have to feed your backyard birds. That feed is expensive. The reason that there's a shortage of eggs right now is for all the reasons that there's shortages of everything else, and more shortages coming because, you know, there's a supply problem. There's a fertilizer problem. There's a diesel fuel cost involved. So, you know, when you put those birds in, you know, you have to get a coop. You're going to have some hay for them. A lot of people, like, we take all of our scraps that is not meat scrap. All of our vegetable scraps go in a bucket, and every day the chickens get that bucket of feed. But that's not enough to maintain them. You know, it's a little supplement, but we still have to have food. And, you know, if you have backyard birds, you're going to have food also. And that food's going to cost you money. So if it's a money thing, eggs versus backyard birds, you know, you're really going to have to weigh that out, really look into how much it's going to cost to feed however many birds you have. And if you live in a climate where it's, you know, freezing cold, you're going to probably want to provide some heat. And if you want to get regular egg production, you're going to want to light those birds up for 12 hours a day so that they, you know, stay awake and produce eggs. Because we noticed if we cut back on the amount of light, if we just allow the chickens to follow the natural light cycle, well, when it gets below 12 hours of daylight, they slow down on their egg production. And, you know, right now, I mean, it's pretty profitable to produce as many eggs as you can. So, and we're not in it for the money, but we're in it to provide food to people who need it and kind of just help out. You know, eggs is a big deal. For, you know, a lot of families eat eggs for breakfast or eat, you know, egg salad sandwiches, or kids like hard-boiled eggs. So, you know, we're distributing those eggs around. And I just wanted to really get the point across that the benefit of having backyard birds, backyard chickens, is you most likely will provide yourself with some eggs. Will the cost be less than what you can get in the store? I can't really say. I would say right now, no. But the security of having your own food, I think, is always worth however much money you can put into it. If you can put enough money into raising your own birds and producing your own eggs, then it's worth it. Do it. But just remember, like, think about this. Those chickens are also going to produce a lot of chicken poop. I mean, they eat and they poop like every other animal in the world. And you have to do something with that. And you don't want to just go throwing that on your garden because it's too strong for your garden. So you're going to have to compost it, or you're going to have to mix it up and dilute it a bit before you go putting it in your garden, or you'll kill everything in your garden. You'll burn it. So you know, there's going to be you're going to need to figure out what you're going to do with the waste that comes with having chickens, you know, and they do need daily care. You do need to check and see that their food is full, and that their water isn't frozen, and that it's clean, because chickens are just dumb as hell. They'll literally poop right in their water, and then they won't drink it because there's poop in it. So, you know, you want to keep the water you need to provide water that's always clean, and that's kind of hard to do with chickens because they're just not the smartest animal in the world. Anyway, so that's my point about backyard chickens. Keep that in mind. If you're going to do it yourself, just remember there's a lot to it, and the cost, you're not going to be saving money right now. You're not going to be saving money on raising chickens. I can guarantee you that. you're going to have the security of having your own eggs. That's what you're going to have. So if you look at it like that, like, yeah, it's going to cost me more, but I'm going to have some. And if you produce enough, honestly, if you can sell them for $6 to $12 a dozen, it's going to help offset the cost of, you know, having the chickens yourself. And believe me, I think your friends would be looking for some eggs. If you're selling them for a little less than the supermarket and they're farm fresh, I mean, there you go. And remember, I did my own little experiment because I could never figure out how to boil our eggs and be able to peel them. And I figured out that if you steam them for like 20 minutes, they peel pretty damn easy. So I think I had 1 out of 12 that didn't peel well in my own little experiment here. Maybe I'll have to do that on video sometime. That would be good. All right, so other current events that's going on. Alec Baldwin. I don't really do a lot of Hollywood stuff, but this week it seems like I have a couple stories. I want to get through like 4 stories of people that are in the news. Alec Baldwin, who, you know, he killed somebody with a firearm on a movie set. And I've said from the beginning, I mean, this is a crime, obviously. You know, you, whoever is holding the gun is responsible for what's in that gun and how that gun is used. And I'm fairly certain there was nowhere in this script that said, point the gun at the producer and shoot him. I'm fairly certain that probably wasn't written in the script because it would make no sense whatsoever. So Alec Baldwin, you know, had this gun pointing at 1 or 2 people. I think 2 people were hit. And, yeah, he killed them because there was a live, real bullet in a stage gun. And, you know, he's trying to blame everybody else. But, you know, the bottom line is... the bottom line is he is the one responsible for it. So, yeah, he's going to pay the price. I mean, one way or another, he's going to be on trial or he's going to have to take some, what do you call that when you bargain for a lesser sentence? Plea bargain. You know, he'll plea bargain something or he'll go to trial. But he doesn't stand a chance going to trial. I mean, you just can't, you know. Guns don't fire themselves, you know, and here on the homestead, I mean, I really take gun safety seriously. So even though our grandkids, and I remember when I was young, man, we played, yeah, forgive me for the political incorrectness here, but we played cowboys and Indians and, you know, we shot each other all the time and we played good guys and bad guys. And, you know, we shot each other with, you know, well, pretended to shoot each other with guns. But, you know, in this day and age where like every single thing has some kind of projectile, even Nerf guns have a projectile, you know, I try and keep those kids thinking about it. Like, you know, okay, yeah, you're going to go out and play, but just remember, you're actually pointing a gun that's going to fire, yeah, your little toy Nerf bullets, but definitely, you know, you can hurt somebody, and you need to think about what you're doing, that this is, you know, this is how you train for using a real gun later on in life. And I know people are going to give me hell for that because it's not. But it should be. You should always promote safe handling of guns. And I'd rather they don't shoot guns at each other. You know, even toy guns. But it happens. So I just like to point it out constantly. But, yeah, Baldwin's going to be in trouble. I think, you know, and he's an asshole anyway. I shouldn't have said that. He is an asshole, but I shouldn't have said, you know, that word. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. Let's see. Steven Crowder. I don't know if you guys know Steven Crowder. He was on The Blaze. I guess he's got a huge following. And there's some kind of controversy. And this is the weirdest thing. I think, you know, for me, it was kind of strange to see this. So Steven Crowder decided to go, I think, shopping to see if he could get a better deal than what he was getting on the Blaze, right? And he's a kind of a younger guy and has real conservative bent. He's concealed carry or open carry guy, really. And yeah, he is big on the internet. And he does have a big following. But he started shopping around, I think, to get, you know, see where he could go to get more money. And then he started kind of playing this, not playing a game. I think he really had, maybe he has an idea that he's going to level the playing field somehow by pointing out these contracts that people are offering him that then take control of all of his social media platforms and place penalties on him if he's not able to perform, like if he, I don't know, breaks his leg and he's laid up, and or if he gets banned from a certain platform, they're going to take so much money. And he was pointing this out. And I was thinking to myself, look, I get it. I mean, I think people who create content eventually want to make money on their content. I think that's why some people do that. I fortunately don't have to worry about that. But yeah, the thing is, corporations want to protect their investment also. All corporations. Like, I just finished my own negotiation. And I'll tell you, I did really good. Like, unbelievably good. Rochelle and I were talking about it the last 2 days. I go, you know what? I don't think I could have done better. I honestly don't. And I mean, that's a great feeling when you realize, man, even if I would have asked for crap I didn't even care about, really, right now where I am is absolutely perfect. Who knows how long it's going to last? I don't know. But you know what? The corporation who negotiated with me, they want to protect their investment too. You know, there's some clauses in there that protect them against me not being able to provide my service. All corporations are going to be the same. So even though, like, right now there's kind of this thing with Steven Crowder, and he's trying to point out how these corporations, you know, or what does he call it? Stop the Big Con, or stop the, I forget what his little movement is. Oh, maybe I have it in here. Let me see. No, I bet I don't. No, of course I don't. Let's see. I got to get rid of that page. Okay. Yeah, I forget what his thing was. But the bottom line is, you know, he's trying to make it look like these corporations are hiding something because they're not being honest up front and telling you that, you know, they're going to take over your social media accounts, that they're going to own all of your, you know, all of your, you know, stuff, all your, you know, you kind of lose copyright potential, right? That, you know, at that point, you turn it all over to the corporation. Hey, and you know what I say? Like Steven Crowder, if you're big enough, then do it yourself. And might I add that he had the best example sitting right in front of him when he was on the Blaze, because Glenn Beck knew way back when he was making it big. Remember when he was on CNN and then he was on Fox and then he went on his own, you know, Mercury Broadcast. And yeah, he stepped out and did it himself. And it is a lot of work, man. When you decide you're going to take on the whole, and I'm not saying that Crowder can't do it. I think he can. And I think he should. Because if you want full control, there's only one way to do it, and that is to work for it. And it's not going to be easy. And you might have to hire people. And you may have to draw up your own contracts. And then what's that going to look like? Because you're going to want to protect your own corporation, right? So you're going to start writing. I mean, to me, this is not a big deal. Like, I see it for what it is. Corporations are going to want to protect their investment. If they're offering you $150 million a year, you can bet your ass there's going to be some, you know, there's going to be some give and take there. Like, hey, yeah, we're not just giving you this money to show up to work whenever you want and to, you know, half-ass it, or as we used to say in the military, radio it in. Radioing it in meant, like, you know, you were supposed to do a round, you know, make your physical rounds and check. Like, for me, I was an electrician. I'd be put in the engine room, and I had to watch the fresh water system, and that is, you took salt water out of the sea and removed the salinity from it and made fresh water for the ship. You know, ships don't carry enough water to be out at sea for months at a time. You had to make water from seawater. And you had to, like, go around and look at the gauges on all the machinery that made fresh water and make sure that all the gauges were correct. And if you had to make some adjustments in flow or restrict flow or increase steam or whatever, you had to do that. But, like, some people would radio it in, which means they would sit there for 4 hours. They would never go check the gauges, and they just would write in the logbook, you know, every 15 minutes, yep, I checked the gauges. Well, corporations aren't going to want their talent to just radio it in, like, oh, I didn't really prepare for today. I'm not really on it. So, you know, forgive me. This show isn't going to be as good as, you know, some of my other shows. I mean, they want you to keep producing the same content that you've been producing. Now, Stephen Crowder, like I said, I think he could do it. But if you want to continue to be paid by a corporation, well, I'm sorry to say, and I know he's kind of young, maybe slightly naive, I don't know, maybe not. But, yeah, you're going to have to make some adjustments, you know, and you're going to have to accept some of those things that the corporations want you to accept, or not, man, or not. Go do it yourself. I'm going to I wonder what the hell window did I just close? Jeez, it's always terrifying when I do something like that. Well, I hope it wasn't important. I'll know soon enough. All right, let's move on to Greta. Oh, my gosh, I just loved this. Oh, stop for a minute. Yeah, his volume is down. Okay, so Greta Thunberg was arrested, as you may have seen. And I'm just going to play this clip. Let me make sure it's, you know, adjusted well. No, it's not. Let's put this up. All right, that's better. I'm going to play this clip. We're going to get some volume going here. It's probably too damn loud. Cut it down to here. All right, we're going to play this clip. I'm going to let this clip run because at first there's a little... I'll talk about it in a minute. Let's listen to this. It's a minute and a half.
Last night. And I talked about how annoying and ridiculous they are. Well, there's been another one. This time it's not specifically citing climate change, but it's targeting an Australian fossil fuel company nonetheless. Just have a look at this madness in Perth.
This painting is barely 100 years old. We have 50,000-year-old artwork that Woodside is destroying.
What a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Art galleries now have to be run like jewellery stores, don't they? Everything behind glass. And just on this stuff, let's look a little more carefully at that arrest of Greta Thunberg in Germany. We joked last night about how it would have been a stunt that she would have wanted to be arrested just for the media coverage. Well, the raw footage of the arrest actually bears this out.
You also want those pretty men?
Yeah, it was all very jolly, laughing along as the police held Greta for the photographers. I mean, she's normally so angry and bitter, but she's smiling and laughing when she's arrested. So anyway, they all got the shots they wanted before the police then walked her away for more shots that they wanted, I suppose. just farcical, isn't it? Deceptive too. It's theatre, climate theatre. And most media just goes along with the charade. Now, we showed a couple of climate protests last week.
All right, so what you didn't see there, because you don't have video, but when you see the show, if you go watch the show, you're going to see that in the beginning, and you could hear it, there was some terrorists who shook up a paint can and went into an art museum and spray painted a stencil over a 100-year-old painting and then claimed that, you know, this company was ruining 50,000-year-old art, which I think they meant rocks. Although it could be some kind of petroglyphs or hieroglyphs or I don't know what. And then they showed Greta Thunberg getting arrested, but of course it was just a photo op before the actual... So if you saw what happened on the news, it looked like she was protesting at a mine, and the cops came and arrested her and removed her from the mine. But this video that was shot before the arrest was all just theater, like he said. It was just theater. And, you know, so much of that is going on these days. You know, I've been talking a lot about who all is lying to us. And it seems like pretty much everybody is lying to us about one thing or another. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting. And I don't really know what the point was of her doing this setup arrest. Like, I think the mine was probably coal or I don't know what, but the point is, it was all fake. It was just drummed up. It wasn't like she actually went there and protest and got arrested. It was like, hey, let's kind of make this look like I protested at this mine and, you know, get arrested. So what? So she gets some more, you know, clicks or some more attention or I don't know what, but man, it's sure crazy. Anyway, thought that was interesting. Let's go on to whatever's next. Oh, and finally, this was awesome. Ivan Provorov, the hockey player. Now this was crazy. So this hockey player this week, do I have a link to it? Yeah, maybe I do. We'll see. What is that? Oh yeah, got to close that. Can't close that. Here, we'll do this. Ivan Provorov, jersey, sells out days after NHL player refuses to wear LGBTQ pride jersey. So the bottom line was the NHL was having this, you know, recognize pride night. You know, and they asked their players to wear this badge on their jersey. And this guy, who was a Russian Orthodox, said no, he wasn't going to participate in recognizing the pride people. What was crazy is the reaction of the community that wanted to be recognized. You know, they were calling for all kinds of fines to be levied by the NHL or on the NHL and how this guy should be treated and, you know, how disrespectful it was. And, you know, one idiot journalist or sports talker or reader, whatever you want to call him, he actually made some comparison or tried to make some comparison between supporting the pride, showing support for the pride community, and what would have happened if it was people in uniform who were disrespected that way. And I got news for the guy. If you actually watch some of the, you know, some of the coverage for when they're showing respect for people who have served in the military, yeah, not everybody supports it. That's okay. We don't care. Those of us who serve sure as hell don't care. I don't care if you show any support for the guys who have served or not. It's not important to me. And I can tell you, some of those guys probably care. Most of them don't give a rat's butt, not at all, because they just did their job to do their job, whatever it was. And you can show respect or not, doesn't matter to them. You think they care whether you wear something to show support for them or not? And see, this is the problem with that community. and forcing everybody to recognize them. And I'm sorry to say that there's a lot of people that don't give a crap what you do with your life. Go do it. Just keep it out of my face. And don't think that you can force me to show you some kind of support. I certainly don't think anybody should be, you know, violently attacked for anything whatsoever. But I don't have to show, pretend like I love what you're doing with your life. I'd prefer to not know a damn thing about your sex life, honestly. It doesn't affect me, so I'd rather, like, not know. That'd be awesome. So for anybody to say, hey, we need to show support for all this is just not true. It's just, anyway, so he protested by not participating in the warm-up session. I think it was just the warm-up session, like, hey, we're going to wear this badge to show support, you know, and to show inclusivity. But, you know, they didn't say that you had to. The league didn't make it some kind of a rule. And yet, you know, the community wants, you know, some kind of fines levied against everybody involved. And, yeah, that's a problem. No, not everybody loves what you're doing. And a guy who's true to himself and to his religion, to his beliefs. So, yeah, his jersey sold out in less than 2 days. It's like, and I don't mean just the jerseys at the stadium. I mean the jerseys that were in stock anywhere are gone. Which is awesome when you think about it. So, and I don't mean a jersey with the pride button on it or badge or whatever. I mean his jersey with his name, with none of that adulteration going on with it, has sold out. So that was awesome. Okay, I think that's all the celebrity news I have. Let's double check, though. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so I've been talking about the FBI corruption for weeks now. And, you know, it was really kind of bugging me because I was thinking, well, who in the hell is going to do anything about this? Like, how come nothing is being done? Somebody should actually do something. Like you've heard me say here on my show, I want to see heads roll. I want to see heads roll for the whole pandemic thing, the whole coronavirus thing, especially if you watch the show, listen to the show this coming Wednesday. I think it's going to blow you away, and hopefully it makes as much sense to you as it did to me, and that's going to be my goal, is to make that one bit of information make sense to everybody and tie all the ends together so you can see how it makes sense. You know, I've done shows, well, like for 2 years now. Oh, yeah, I think it's coming up on 2 years. And last year, I just remember distinctly some things I was talking about. And I'll tell you one specifically is, do you remember like when new variants would show up and you would see like these reports of, you know, the CDC tested the wastewater in a certain city and they found this variant? And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell did they just discover a new variant? But today, like yesterday, they discovered this new variant. And today they tested the wastewater and they found this new variant in the wastewater. Well, there's a very good explanation why they could get that test done so fast to see that that variant was showing up in the wastewater. And hopefully it stuns you as much as it stunned me when I was listening to it the first time. And I will do everything I can to make that clear on Wednesday. So join me on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we'll get her done. But today, so I wanted to talk about the FBI and the kind of the history of the FBI corruption. And I ran into this website that was, that a bunch of history has already been gathered by guess who? General Flynn. Yes, that General Flynn. And he has this website, and I better pull it up. Let's see, where in the hell is it? Come on, let's get to it. No, that's not it. Oh, wait, I have it here. Oh, my God, I don't have it here. Let me do a couple things. I know, dead air sucks. I know. Oh, heck. Let me just read this part. Actually, hang on one sec. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to reopen something. Be right back. No, I'm not going anywhere, but I had to take my screen down for a second because, you know, I'm opening stuff that I don't really know. Oh, my goodness, those are... Come on, man. Where is it? Well, it's a good thing I copied down some of these notes. Let's say recently closed tabs. Here we go. Oh, here it is. All right. Now I can get the camera back up. All right. So here's the site. It is America's Future, and this section is called In Focus, Unequal Justice Under the Law. And this is done by General Flynn. And General Flynn has some comments he puts right in here. He says, In our mission and effort to protect and preserve our God-given rights and constitutional republic for our fellow Americans through information and education, America's Future presents a series of in-focus articles on the nation's premier law enforcement agency, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and its self-destruction over time. Many readers will be astonished that bureau abusers are not new but have existed for decades. We introduce this series beginning with an outline of more recent activities causing grave concern to most Americans as signs of unequal politicized treatment abounds. So, like I was just focusing on stuff that was more recent, I got to wet my... wrote a little bit here. So I was just focusing on stuff that was a little more recent. I'm going to actually kind of blow up this. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to blow up. I'm going to blow this up. Oh, maybe. Yeah, and I don't think you'll be able to read it necessarily, but if you can, you know, I'll probably scan through it a little bit, but I have copied a lot of this text into my notes because of what just happened where I didn't have the link to the site. I still had the notes. So I just picked out a few things here that I want to go into, but this is going to go on for a few weeks, I'm sure, especially with other things coming up, current events and all that stuff. But we're going to get through all of this too. But I just want to make sure to cover certain of these points. So it says, over the entrance of the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. are inscribed the words, equal justice under the law. But it says, leftist Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters were allowed to storm the federal courthouse in Portland, burn down stores, and kill without consequence. But election protesters welcomed into the Capitol by police on January 6th, egged on by informants who have never been arrested, are treated as terrorists, hunted down by the FBI, locked in solitary confinement, beaten by prison guards and prosecuted, many without adequate access to effective counsel. So that's a more current event. That was just 2-3 years ago. From its earliest days, the political left in America has been highly critical of FBI abuses of civil liberties. With the advent of World War I and Congress's enactment of the Espionage Act of 1917, the FBI began use of wiretapping and opening U.S. mail as part of its nationwide surveillance of Americans. To be sure, the Bureau surveilled those thought to be German agents, but it also targeted political activists who were critical of U.S. entry into the war. As far back as 1924, an ACLU report described the FBI as a secret police system of political character. Let's just see that report too. FBI Bureau of Investigation, FBI operates like a Gestapo secret police force. So this was a report back in, I don't know when, but there's the source. The left's criticism of the FBI intensified over the COINTELPRO operation, which lasted from 1956 to 1971. There, the FBI targeted and disrupted political activities of American citizens viewed as troublemakers, particularly civil rights activists and the Black Panther Party. The FBI wiretapped, surveilled, and harassed Martin Luther King Jr., and many believe at one point tried to drive him to commit suicide. All this changed during the Trump era with the FBI's protection of Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden while attacking anyone in the MAGA movement. Some on the left are now are thrilled that the Espionage Act could be used to indict President Trump as the search warrant used to justify the Mar-a-Lago raid asserted possible violations of the act. The left has made clear that they have no objections to a secret police system. It just needs to be in their secret police. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich explains, the arrogance, aggressiveness, and dishonesty of the FBI has turned it into the left-wing secret police. And this is what I say about all of these things that happened in the U.S. government. You know, when one side is trying to push something, you know, far too extreme, they're going to hate it when it's not theirs, but they're going to love it and abuse it when they're in power and they control that very thing. And that's what has happened with the FBI. There's some incredible stories here. The FBI's only criminal responsibility is for federal crimes, but that raises the question as to why are there so many federal crimes? Remember, I did a show, well, maybe you didn't, but I'm just going to tell you. I did a show in the last 6 or 8 months about how many federal regulations are created every single Congress. And every single 2 years and every single 4 years, it's literally tens to hundreds of thousands of new regulations that are created. It turns out that they're not really laws, most of them. But they do tend to try and create laws that work in their favor, whoever they are who has the majority at the time. And like I said, the problem is eventually you lose power because everybody gets tired of one extreme or the other extreme. You know, everybody kind of wants to, I think, not everybody. I know that I like it when the government can't do anything. Like, it's the perfect balance so that the votes just wash and they can't pass any more laws or regulations. And yeah, some people may think I'm crazy, but honest to God, do you really think we need any more laws or regulations? I can guarantee you, you could live life on about, well, 10 laws. Let's just leave it at that. How bad is the problem? The American Bar Association has noted that it's so large is the present body of federal criminal law that there is no conveniently accessible complete list of federal crimes. According to one count made in 2015, America enforced at least 5,000 criminal laws with 10,000 to 300,000 regulations that can be enforced criminally. These laws are not ignored by federal prosecutors. This week, the FBI, now this was a few months ago, this week the FBI seized MyPillow owner Mike Lindell's phone while driving through a Hardee's. Why do you suppose they took Mike Lindell's phone? It wasn't because he was bringing fentanyl in through the southern border, which, of course, if he was doing that, they would not only have not taken his phone, they wouldn't have harassed him at all. They would just, like, if he did get stopped and did get booked into jail, well, they'll let him out. No matter how many hundreds of thousands of fentanyl tablets he had in his possession, they're just going to let him out and go back to doing business, because fentanyl apparently is not a big deal in this country. But God forbid you bring attention, you know, to any irregularities in the voting system in this country, or actually bring on forensic IT people, you know, to look at computers and computer systems and the internet and data flow, and they actually point out where some, you know, big discretionary, you know, discretionary, some huge numbers of votes turned up out of nowhere into the voting system, and they can't be verified, and these forensic computer people can actually show where the abnormalities are and how they occurred and what occurred to the votes, you know, when that irregularity occurred. Well, then we gotta, you know, seize a phone and kind of harass somebody. Mike Lindell, of all people, one of the simplest guys in the world, a great story if you don't know the story to his success. And you know, he's just an honest guy who wants justice and he wants freedom. He wants people to be free. Of course he does. He wants people to be successful so they can buy his stuff. I buy his stuff. I love his stuff. You know, and I mean, just think of what this guy did. I mean, he beat addiction. He started his own company. Like, just imagine, he was just thinking one day, I don't know, maybe let's try and make a better pillow. I'm going to try and make a better pillow. In fact, I'm going to try and make a pillow so damn good that people buy my pillows over any other pillow. And just think, like, how simple that is. Like building a better mousetrap, right? So Mike Lindell sets out to make a better pillow. And his goal was to, like, make a pillow, get people to use it, figure out, you know, what they wanted, more or less filling, or maybe the option to have more or less filling. Did they like this kind of material or that kind of material? You know, and he kind of did all of these tests to figure out what people's preferences were so that he could make a great pillow. And he did. And he grew from there. Now he makes slippers. I have a pair. They're awesome. When he says it's the most comfortable slipper you'll ever wear, I swear to God, he's not kidding. In fact, I'm about ready to order another pair because they're so comfortable. They're so comfortable, I wear mine outside in the rain or snow or mud or whatever. And no, I shouldn't. They're really nice. They're really nice slippers, and I should have taken better care of them, but they're still fine. I just want a pair that I don't actually wear outside. But yeah, so he built this company, made a ton of money, and then he wanted, you know, he just wants people to be free, and he wants elections to be honest, and he wants, you know, he's a guy who's actively involved. And, you know, he could hire the people to prove that some irregularities, illegal activity was going on, that the voting machines and votes were just showing up out of nowhere. And, you know, the FBI, because the FBI know, right? I'll have to call and get some kind of deal on the MyPillow thing. That's a good idea. Steve Turley has one. It's awesome. I actually use it. Yeah, but, you know, Mike Lindell just wants honesty, and he wants votes to count and people not to get discouraged. So let's move on to where I was in the government corruption thing. So okay, so I was talking about Mike Lindell. Former Clinton administration National Security Advisor Sandy Berger stole classified documents from the National Archives by stuffing them into his underwear. These records related to the government's official investigation into the events of September 11, 2001, and thus their removal and destruction could have impeded that critical investigation. Berger was allowed to plead to a misdemeanor for unauthorized removal and retention of the classified material and served no jail time. When Hillary Clinton transferred highly classified documents to her private email server, once again, the FBI and Department of Justice had no interest. Some of those documents were classified at a higher level than top secret. The FBI director, James Comey, issued his famous statement exonerating Hillary Clinton, which Senator Grassley and Graham revealed had been drafted even before the FBI's investigation was complete. But see, here's the deal, is if it's working in your favor, it's all good, right? So the left hated the FBI and the intrusions of the FBI. Oh, I wanted to get to this because we're down to, 3.5 minutes. Okay, so let's get this part in first. In 1919 and 1920, under the direction of young agent named J. Edgar Hoover, President Wilson's FBI carried out what are known as the Palmer Raids. Thousands of citizens in numerous cities were arrested, often without warrants, sometimes holding them for months without charges or attorneys. In Detroit, nearly 1,000 men were detained and starved for almost a week in a small area without windows on the top floor of the federal building, accused of being radicals and anarchists. The raid swept an estimated 3,000 to 10,000 persons deemed radicals and anarchists. Many of those arrested were beaten and denied due process for nothing more than having a foreign accent. Future Supreme Court Justice Harlan Stone attacked the raids in his testimony before the Senate in 1921. He argued that any system that permits law enforcement agencies to restrain the liberty of individuals without safeguards will result in abuse of power. Stone argued that the FBI maintained many activities which were without any authority and federal statutes and engaged in many practices which were brutal and tyrannical in the extreme, including indiscriminate arrest of the innocent with the guilty, unlawful seizures by federal detectives, intimidating preliminary interrogation of aliens held incommunicado, high-handed levying of excessive bail and denial of counsel. Finally, a single courageous federal judge stood up against the illegal Palmer raids, ordering 13 prisoners freed. 6 decades later, in 1979, the Palmer raids were reviewed by the U.S. House Select Committee on Assassinations, which scathingly noted that the Palmer raids had come to symbolize the misuse of police power for political purpose. Yet Congress did virtually nothing to bring the FBI under control. The Palmer raids are particularly grim warning today as the FBI attacks the political opponents of the Biden regime, most recently demonstrated by a raid on and arrest of a pro-life Catholic activist in front of his 7 children. In response, 22 congressional Republicans at least had the courage to send a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland stating that this latest raid appears to be an extraordinary overreach for political ends. The question remains whether Congress will have the courage to actually restore the rule of law, which requires a great deal more than just writing letters. So we're going to get into more of that. We're going to get into more of that in future shows. Thanks for joining me tonight. I will see you guys on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm.